Mark chapter 1 and verses 12 and 13. The handover. Temptation. The previous discourse. The handover. Baptism. The baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the second part of this handover section. The temptation of Christ. Mark 1, 12 to 13. At once, straight after the baptism, right upon coming out of the Jordan, at once the Spirit sent him, the Lord Jesus, out into the desert, that howling wilderness. And he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. Mark chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. Other records of this temptation go into more detail. Mark is just summarizing. He's eager to get on to the ministry of Christ. But the point here is clear. Here is the start of the new covenant. Here is the transition, the handover, from John the Baptist to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw that the baptism is at the very start of that. And now immediately and connected with it is this temptation, this testing, this struggle, this wrestling with Satan. Satan comes to him, the Lord Jesus, in that most inhospitable place and wrestles with him. The battle is going on. What's this about? Well, this is the character of the age in which we live. This is the character of the work of the gospel. This is what Christ came into the world. He didn't come into the world to bring a load of soft soap. He didn't come into the world with a bag of goodies to hand out. He's not here to entertain us. He's not here to amuse the crowd. There's no delay here. At once the Spirit sent him out, not to buy ice cream for everybody and a bag of chocolates and a donut. None of that. He sent him out into the desert where he was subjected to this harrowing temptation by Satan. And it won't stop until the cross. And at the very end of the cross, there is a war going on here. There's a battle going on here. There's a strife going on here. This is what the character of the age is. This high point of his baptism, straight into this depths of the struggle. And the Spirit drove him out. The Spirit impelled him to go. How willing was Jesus to go? Oh yes, Hebrews chapter 10. I always do those things. I've come to do your will, O God. I always do those things which please my Father and so on. No, there's no unwillingness here. There's this impelling force, though. This is the character of the age, I say again. He's to be tempted, tried, tested. This is great work. It starts right back in Genesis 3:15. What's that? Well, the wrestling between the serpent and the seed of the woman. The bruising of the heel. The bruising of the head, the battle going on, the fight between these two. You get it again in 1 John 3, verse 8. Christ was manifest. What for? Why did Christ come into the world? Oh, to make everybody happy, to give them a good self-esteem, to abolish the works of the devil, to fight the devil and conquer him and take the prey from his grip and rescue his people, to draw his elect out from Satan's grip. I spoke about the cross. This struggle goes on from this temptation, culminating in the cross, culminating yet further, let me say it, in that it is accomplished. That's not it's finished, oh, it's all over. No, it is accomplished, tetelestai. It is the glorious triumph of Christ. It's not an exhausted, oh, it's all over, no. That's how people think it. Thomas Hardy did in Father and the Madding Crowd. Tetelestai, it's just all over, it's finished. No. Tetelestai, it is accomplished. This battle. I have rescued my saints. I have redeemed them. I have died for them. Now I'll arise for them. Well, of course, he's just about to die and so on. Satan is not going to let the elect be taken out of his grip lying down. Christ, driven by the Spirit, is confronted by Satan. He is comforted and sustained by God himself and the angels and so on. And he could say, Luke 10:18, I saw Satan fall. The prince of this world is driven out, John 12:31. Oh, my brother and sister. This is the victory that was won for us. In a pale, insignificant way, we can talk about our trials and troubles. May the Spirit drive us into our circumstances. May we see that sovereignty of God. May we know the comfort of God in all our trials and troubles. May we look to Christ and overcome in the battle. But I don't want to detract from Christ here. That's the main point here. It's Christ in his sufferings for his people. Let me read a hymn by Isaac Watts. I long for a concert of heavenly praise to Jesus my God, the omnipotent Son. My soul should awake in harmonious lays, could it tell half the wonders that Jesus has done. I'd sing how he left his own mansion of light, the robes made of glory that dressed him above. Yet pleased with his journey and swift in his flight, he came on the pinions of covenant love. Quick down to the place of our distant abode, he came, we adore him, to raise us on high. He came to atone the dread justice of God, and took up a life to be able to die. All hail, now this is the verse, all hail and its lions stood roaring around. His flesh and his spirit with malice they tore, while oceans of sorrow lay pressing him down, as vast as the burden of guilt which he bore. Fast bound in the chains of imperious death, the infinite captive a prisoner was laid. The infinite captain arose from the earth and leaped to the hills of ethereal day. Then mention no more of the vengeance of God, the lions of hell and their roaring no more. We lift up our eyes to his shining abode, our loudest hosannas his name shall adore. His conquest is crowned with the honors he won, hosanna through all the ethereal globes. The God and the man, how he fills up his throne, how he shines, how he smiles, how he looks, how he loves. Our Savior came. He entered into this contest of death. He died, but in his dying he was triumphant over Satan. We see it pictured here, beginning to be worked out here in his temptation. Why did he do it, brother and sister? For love of us. He suffered this for you and me. May God receive all the praise. May our lives show how much we owe him. Amen.